After a short hiatus, we're back with Season 4 of the Real Life Caddy podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by the knowledgeable Mike Zabo and the wit of the man bun, Brandon Balestri. As always, we kick things off with some caddy stories from our day jobs. I tried helping out a lefty with a slice which ended up in a near fatality, and Zabo and Brandon get stung by taking the wrong request. We then move on to give a recap of the first ever glorified donkey hole-in-one event. It recently took place at Half Moon Bay. A very enjoyable trip, but also at times very stressful. The boys and I then turn our attention to the professional game, discussing some recent rule changes and the PGA Tour's PIMP programme. We end the episode with mailbag questions and notable mentions. If you get any questions, opinions or comments, please send them in on social media or via email, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. We recorded this episode at the Morrock Pub in Pacific Grove. I want to thank them for their hospitality. If you find yourself in the Monterey area, please feel free to visit the Morrock Pub or the Britannia Arms in Monterey for a few drinks and something to eat. In the meantime though, thanks for listening and I hope you enjoy this episode. Season 4, Episode 1 of the Real Life Caddy podcast. We're coming from a new location.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, the Monarch Pub.
Thanks, Monarch. Yeah, beautiful up here.
It's on Lighthouse in Pacific Grove, just along the road from where I live. I've been wanting to come out here for a while. So, best thing about this place, Paul, who owns it, is an Aston Villa fan.
Now, there you go. Aston Villa. There it is.
Nice.
You're a big Villa fan, aren't you, Brandon?
I am not.
Not. Okay. Joined by Zabo. And Man Bun, a.k.a. Brandon Balestri.
Here he is. It's been a while. It's been, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks.
It has. We took a kind of sabbatical, Christmas and New Year.
We did. There's a lot to talk about. I don't even know if we can get it all done in one podcast.
No, there's going to be a little.
Too many stories.
Well, yeah, I was caddying for some boys, Sneaky Pete and a guy called BK, who I know well. I took a lot of footage or audio from the golf course.
Nice.
And I'm going to put that into a later episode.
Gotcha.
But you're right, there's been so much happened.
I mean, too much. We go too long in between podcasts sometimes, and then there's too many stories.
Exactly.
So.
But
we
need to crack on with the caddy stories straight off the bat.
Well, why don't we start? Because, you know, when I was actually working this morning with little Brandon here, and we're walking down, and he's talking about, we've got a podcast this afternoon, we don't have anything to talk about. And I said, don't worry, Brandon, we're going to find something about this loop to talk about. So, Brandon, why don't you tell everybody how this loop started for us this morning?
Well, I've been working the last, I don't know, almost 2 weeks now, straight since I've been back. And I got a call from another caddy last night who I actually saw on the grass yesterday on this loop. And I whistled at him. I gave him the old... and he's like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Good to see you. And so I surprisingly get a call from him last night.
As
I saw myself on the schedule at an 11:30 report time.
Yep, me too.
And he's like, hey, man.
Got this
great
job.
I'm thinking, why is he calling me? You know, probably because he has a job and he needs to give away. So he calls me and he's like, I gave the other job to Zabo. And, you know, these guys, they really took care of me well.
Yeah,
I did
paid
a
me
single,
really well.
I did a
yeah.
single, and then I helped everybody else out, the three other players, and they gave me $320.
So, yeah.
And I was like, okay, there was a little suspicion in me, like a little bit of who knows.
And then he told you, he's like, and call it in yourself, Brandon, call it in under the last name what? What was the last
Wong. Name? Oh, he says the last name is Wong, and I thought he was messing with me, but normally he would laugh, do the John Martine laugh, but he was dead serious.
It was under Wong, yeah. So, long story short, we show up to the tee.
Oh, can I interlude?
Yeah.
Sure.
Previous episode, I gave a job to
Brandon.
Brandon.
Yeah,
a couple episodes ago.
Same last name, Wong, and a guy never even turned up.
Yeah. He was a no-show.
Red flags, folks. Red flags.
Don't take the Wong.
So anyways, we get down to the tee, and we're meeting these guys. He's like, oh, Johnny sent you over from yesterday? I'm like, yeah. And he said that a guy from the pro shop came out and said, you know, you need to pay your caddy base fee in the pro shop. He goes, no, we're just going to give them all cash. And we're like, I said, no, that's not really
how it works.
And he's like, no, that's how we did it yesterday. I kind of touched him on the shoulder. I'm like, look, sir. I was like, that's not what happened. You paid that money, the caddy fee in the pro shop.
What
you gave him was all gratuity for him. And he was like, well, that's why he was so darn happy yesterday. And Brandon then goes, Yeah, and that's why we're here today. And I see a little tear spill down Brandon's eye just seeing the money go out the window.
And he had so much sunscreen on.
He did.
It was like 7, you know, 35, 7:40 in the morning. And it's like he was caked with sunscreen. And like they were all wearing their masks, like their M95 or whatever. And it looked like he had been wearing that mask since 2019. And I'm like, geez, man, like, all right, this isn't going well. He knows that he overtipped John and that we're here and that we're carrying the bags today and that, you know, this is around a pebble.
So we
anyway.
Pretty much knew how it was going to go.
The writing was on the wall, as the Mike said after the round.
That's what I said. Brandon, we got our money, and I said, Brandon,
Mike
the writing was on the
wall. Maybe a little, maybe an extra 20 or so because he bought me lunch, and I appreciate you, Mike. Lunch. Thank you.
The white thing was on the wall.
It was. But there was only two Wongs in the group, but two Wongs don't make a right.
Definitely not.
Actually, it was kind of a vanilla loop, but one of the guys in the group had a gap wedge. He had a pink set, so he has a U wedge. So we see different players, and they have A wedges, they have U wedge. And a lot of these hacks, they call these clubs different things. What do people call A wedge? The approach wedge.
Attack
wedge.
Attack.
You know. And the U wedge, what's it considered? It's considered your utility wedge, right? And I've heard universal. I've heard this.
Yes.
This guy called it the under wedge.
Ooh.
And I never corrected him because I need the under wedge. I'm like, right on, buddy. Okay. Let's hit that under wedge.
Under
wedge.
Wow. That's classic. So it wasn't a great day then.
It was about like
hey,
we thought after we
figured
out.
What? You just got to compartmentalize things. It's like I got out at 7:50. I worked with Mike.
Yeah,
we had a great time. Change out bags, super light. We walked Pebble, and it was a beautiful day.
Yeah. And Brandon got a story for the podcast.
And we have a story for the podcast.
Yes, beautiful. I've got so many stories from the last 6-7 weeks. I've got them in the little green book, and I need to go through them again. But I was very busy at the weekend. I will tell you this. Last week, I worked with my buddy John Dworsky, and the guy had emailed me and said, oh, I'm playing with my son. He's got a really bad slice. I told him you'd sort it out.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I'm Hank Harmon.
Mr. Pro over here,
I'll sort that out. So
it's not my job, sir.
He striped off the first tee, but then I said, nothing wrong with that. And he said, oh, it's the driver. I went, okay. So I give him a couple of tips. I always tell people the ball's at midday. If you can tell the time, you want to swing through to 11 and not towards 9. Okay. We get him on the third hole. It didn't really go well. He's a lefty.
Oh, God.
And he thinned the ball off the tee and nearly killed John. And if it wasn't going to kill John, it was going to kill his mother, who was in the car with John. It was, as in John...
Sideways.
Who's not always paying attention. He got out of the way. Hats off to him.
Wow.
So, you know, caddies can't always fix the slice.
No, that's not our jobs. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It was funny, actually, though, as well. Johnny was... You ever had this? The mother wasn't the best of golfers. Very, very poor distance control and putting.
Had that today.
Every putt was straight.
Oh, yeah. I give a lot of straight reads when that happens. Yeah.
Three putts on the third green were all straight. I looked at him. I was laughing. I was going, straight. Everything all day was straight.
I mean, the struggle looks different for everybody. I realized that in my last 12 days of working. I caddied for quite a few people who had some problems that I had no answers for them or no business trying to clean up their situation. And it was like, you know, and they were all different. You know, one guy got the shanks. One guy, just didn't make sense to him, you know? And it was like, we all struggle a little bit at the game and it looks different for everybody.
Some people, they take a caddy and they think their woes are going to be solved. It's
exactly.
Like, oh, well, I'm taking a caddy, so I'm going to make all my putts. Well, if you can't make a 2-footer that's straight without me, my read's not going to help you. If you push or pull every single putt, then those 2-3 footers, I'm not going to help you make more of them just because I know what it's doing because you can't hit it there. So it doesn't really matter.
I get called from a regular that I caddy for asking me if he should divorce his wife.
What'd you tell him? You're not in the business of giving advice?
That's one read I'm not going to make, sir.
Not making that read. That's horrendous. I also, actually, Zabo gave me a job for this little guy from Texas. He called me a couple of weeks ago and he says, oh, I got this.
Oh, yeah, that guy's fun.
Lovely week. What was his name? Remember his name?
God, I don't know. I carry for so many people.
Well, what Zabo hadn't told me was it was at a pro event. Okay? So I turned up on the first tee and the starter gives me the scorecard. I always like to take the score.
Yeah.
Keeps you busy. Because it was going to be a double, then turned into a single. And
sorry about
that. That doesn't matter. I didn't care. Easy street. So I like to take the scorecard, and then I look at it, and I said, okay. And I can be a dick without even trying.
You know of course I mean? You can, yeah.
But on this occasion,
you were trying.
I said, hey, lads, where are all the dots in the scorecard? And they all looked at me as if I was being serious and I'd insulted them. It was a pro event. So
yeah, it was. It was part. Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. But they probably still needed dots, though, didn't they?
There was one guy shot 73, no, 72. That's not bad. He shot level par. Yeah, he was really good. I think he might be listening. Can't remember his name, though. Good. Nice lad.
Well, apparently you didn't need the dots.
Mm-hmm. Any other bits and pieces from Caddy Stories, boys?
I have to mention this because this was the most fascinating loop I've ever had in my life. Another Asian family. The last name was Lee.
No.
L-I. You got to hear this.
That's Chinese.
This is amazing. So I had a father-son. This kid was 8 years older, okay? This 8-year-old kid and the dad... Almost no English. Dad and mom, almost no English. But this kid, Victor Lee, is born in the States, Orange County. This kid is going to win tournaments on the PGA Tour 100%. I want somebody to dig this podcast out of the archives 13, 14 years from now because this kid, 8 years old, will win PGA Tour events.
And nice, not only that, that's cool.
This kid was the most personable kid you ever met. So I got finished with my loop, and everybody in the pro shop came out and they were like, so how was it? How was it out there with Victor? I'm like... The kid, he's holding court with everybody out there. Like, the things this kid would say, I mean, he was just wise
he's
beyond his
it.
Years. And his dad was like, here, he gave me a chart of his numbers. He hits his driver, you know, 140 carry-in, which is pretty deep for an 8-year-old. And he was giving me all these numbers. So we're on these par threes, and I'm calculating yards. He's playing the red tees. And he birdied 3 out of the 4 par threes because I would, like, move him a club length back. Like, this is how far he can carry this club. Like, Victor, hit this. And, like, he would hit it. He's like... And then I showed him, because he's 8 years old and he likes to be entertained, so I showed him I could juggle. He's like, hey, Mike, if I make a birdie, will you show me another juggling trick? I'm like, sure, Victor, make a birdie.
Zabel, now you mentioned that, would you be willing to juggle golf balls on your unicycle? Do you still have your unicycle?
I do not, but I could ride any unicycle you can find if you got one.
We'll do that for the Instagram.
Listeners
need to realize, you did actually do a juggling one on number 7 at the big course.
I have, yeah. I grew up juggling. Yeah, I'm a juggler.
I seen Mike juggle bowling pins on a unicycle.
Yeah.
Really?
And fire. Yeah. I've juggled fire on a
juggled
unicycle.
Juggled fire, huh?
No joke.
Oh. Josh Fisher, yeah. He saw a homeless guy rolling a unicycle down the street. This was like 7 or 8 years ago.
I know somebody who could use that.
Yeah, he found it in some trash can. He's like, I bet Zabo could ride that. And he didn't even know if I could. He's like, so he bought it from the guy for $10. And he called me up. He's like, Zabo, can you ride a unicycle? I'm like, yeah, I can ride a unicycle. He's like, good, I got one for you. You need to juggle fire on it for a party. So I did.
Right, okay. We're definitely going to do that this year.
But remember this name, Victor Lee L.I. If you look them up now, you see he wins every junior tournament down in Orange County. This kid will be on the PGA Tour and will win tournaments.
We had...
Hopefully stays off the drink
we
and drugs.
We had the GGG tournament, which is an all-singles tournament. These guys, most of the guys from Cincinnati, the Gathering of Gentlemen Golfers.
Oh.
And... it's an interesting tournament. Really
Red
nice
flags.
Guys. My guy I've caddied for multiple years, and we had a video surface when they first arrived here, and the guy just plops straight out of the shuttle cart, like head over heels, just sprawled out on the ground, just straight from the airport. Hadn't even got there yet. Like, first dives up
played?
To the... Yeah. I mean, he was okay.
But he hadn't, like, played golf yet.
No, he was just drinking. Like, he flew a private jet to Pebble Beach, and he was having
get
so
drunk
much
on
fun.
That jet.
The video of this guy just taking a spill was hilarious. God, it was great.
I had a great loop with Big Tony. How about this? Next time he's on, we can talk about it. Two caddies, one player. That was it.
I don't know if that's ever happened. I've never heard of that.
Boy texts me in the morning. He says, you still okay for today? And Tony texts me as well, saying, I'm working with you. So I text the boy back. He says, 4 players? He goes, no, it's just me. Like, well, why do you need 2 guys? And he goes, no, I'm just high maintenance.
Was he high maintenance?
No. Oh, easiest guy in the world. But
so what was your job in the...
Walking and talking.
Oh, you do that
yes,
very well.
Very
yeah.
well.
You can walk and you can certainly talk.
Tony even threw the bag in the golf cart after 5 holes. Because the guy's wife was there. Shock. Oh, unbelievable.
Was there 3 other golfers in the group?
3 other golfers.
None of them took caddies?
I think a couple of them took caddies. So it was a very bizarre situation. And by the way, Big Tony did strap the clubs into the back of the cart. That's all he had to do, was just make sure the clubs got round. And on 12, I grabbed, or 13, I grabbed a couple of clubs. He was in the process of putting the bag on the back of the cart. He blamed me.
Didn't strap it in. Here we go.
PXG clubs, he's driving away, and then he starts blaming me. And I'm going, whoa, you're doing nothing. All you have to do is drive. You're not doing any caddying whatsoever, just drive, and you can't even do that properly.
We had two caddies for one player, and they still couldn't keep the clubs on the cart.
Kippen did that back in December.
Let's not go back there.
No, it was in my notes. That was twice in a year that
but
happened
this
to
is,
him.
So this is both times you're blaming the other caddy. So neither time was
I'm
your
not
fault.
Caddying for them. Well, I'm walking.
Oh, you were caddying for this guy.
I'm caddying for the other two. I was walking with him. One thing Tony has started doing, I've noticed, I worked a tournament with him in November. It's kind of funny how players in a pro-am start changing what they do. Yeah. Okay.
It's just the nature of it, yeah.
Yeah, they start copying what the pros do.
Yeah.
Well, certain caddies do it as well. And Tony started coming out with this one where if a par 3 is 180, what would you say? Downhill, 180.
Yeah, hit it 175, whatever it's playing.
Yeah, so you start off and say, okay, it's 180 to the pin, it's going to play 170. He says 182 on the ground.
Never said that.
It's an LA thing. I've only been at LA.
We talked about it last time. I said that all the time. On the ground. On the ground means that's your raw number, not adjusted.
I've never heard him say that before. It's like, all of a sudden he's in a tournament and he starts giving.
You become a product of your environment sometimes, and you pick up things.
You do.
You hang around duck caddies and you start talking like a duck.
Very true. Anything else to add, guys, before we move on to the hole in one event, the glorified donkey?
Yeah, there's lots to add, but we got a long year ahead of us. Why don't we talk about what happened with the hole in one?
Okay, well. For a long time, I have planned this idea to how do you grow what you're doing? You got to get in front of as many people as possible. Oh, episode 84, it's called Always Take Insurance.
Mm.
Right, so that
unless you're playing blackjack, yes.
You're playing blackjack.
Is that official?
It's a sucker bet.
Why is it a sucker bet?
Because there's a good chance that the dealer does not have blackjack. And you're protecting a bet that you got potential to still win. I mean, okay. it's just
you're
never
playing
a good
scaredy cat.
Yeah.
Do we have percentages for that?
I don't. There are, okay. But I don't. Zabu, I know you never take it.
So, what, you played a couple of games of blackjack in your time, Zabo?
One or two.
Okay, so for 6 months I've been planning this. I bought a glorified donkey tent. If anyone wants to go to the glorified donkey Instagram page, you'll see a picture of the setup. It's a really cool.
It is. It's a beautiful tent. They
10
did
by
a great
10
job.
Foot. It's all decked out. Real life carry podcast on it. It's got the glorified donkey, all the bells and whistles. There's a desk there. There's side panels. It's beautiful. And Half Moon Bay, which is
beautiful place. Beautiful place.
10 miles, 15 miles from San Francisco.
Is it? Maybe yeah. more.
I would
yeah?
say
I
it's,
think so. It's
not
that far away.
15 or 18 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's on the coast, Highway 1, so it's about an hour and a half north of us. They were very kind to allow me to go out onto the course and actually do this event. So basically the idea is you set up the tent on a par 3, myself, I took Taylor Daniels, do an impression of Taylor.
Hey guys, this is Taylor.
Okay, Taylor. Deep voice Taylor. So he came up with me to help me out. We're on the ocean course, so two courses at Half Moon Bay.
Both great golf courses.
Yeah, there's the old course.
Arnold
Palmer maybe designed that.
I thought you were in St. Andrews or something. You sent me that picture and I just was like, wow.
It really reminded me of home.
Yeah, I could see that.
The coastline is so different from down here because it's... You know, you get Big Sur, which is really, you know, steep cliffs. Up there is a little bit more manageable. Yeah. I absolutely loved it.
Did you see the old course at all? Did you see the finishing holes of the old course?
Oh,
amazing. Amazing. That par 4 to finish?
Yeah,
amazing.
So if anyone's listening and interested, check out Half Moon Bay online. The Ritz-Carlton Hotel is
right next to, yeah.
On the sort of right on the peninsula there. And the old course 18.
Correct.
Both 18s actually go either side. And they meet the hotel.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've never played the ocean course, but the old course is really good.
So we're out in the ocean course, number 17, second last hole. Super windy, right?
It's exposed up there.
We went out on the Thursday just to go and meet everyone and check it out. And we got about 15 mile an hour winds. And everyone's saying, ooh, you're going to put your tent up? I'm going, uh-huh. And they're going, we get wind warnings the next 2 days. And I'm going, oh, I'll be fine. That's fine.
Tsunami warnings,
yes.
Wind and surf advisories.
Yeah.
So what happened was I was supposed to have the event insured. This is what you should always do. Always insure a par 3.
Very common on hole-in-one holes. You buy insurance. You get a car you're giving away or cash you're giving away.
Exactly.
You buy insurance.
There you go. So I know a guy who has an insurance company.
Gordon knows a guy.
Of course he does.
I know a guy.
Yeah,
he's, I know a guy. Yeah,
he can insure. His name's Saul.
So 6 weeks ago, he says, listen, I'll sponsor it. So on Thursday morning, I text him and say, listen, 17 ocean course, 165 yards. That's the minimum it has to be for the insurance. So he texts me back. He says, oh, no, it needs 48 hours for the insurance to bind. So we'll do Saturday, Sunday. Well, I'm already committed. So I'm now going, well, I'm doing 10 grand.
Yeah, here it is.
And I'm going, so I can't sleep Thursday night. Number one, I'm thinking about the wind.
So wait, you're doing 10 grand of your own money you're putting
of up. My own cash.
I couldn't handle those nerves.
I struggled with that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Anytime a ball was near the flag, I'd be like, oh, no, don't go in, don't go in.
Exactly. Usually as a caddy, you're willing everyone to do well.
Yeah, you want them to do well. Not exactly. In this situation.
And this was, so I couldn't sleep Thursday night because I had this dream that, so you have your four posts to the tent, you have the canopy, and then I have this huge backing to it. Now, there are sides, but I didn't put the sides on. This thing's like a boat sail. So I'm trying to sleep Thursday night before the event. I'm pretty nervous about it because, you know, it's the first of hopefully many.
Yeah.
And I have this dream that the wind blows the tent out into the Pacific Ocean and Taylor's holding on to it and disappears down the cliff with it.
Bye, Taylor!
Then I have to tell the wife, oh, someone made a hole-in-one. It costs us 10 grand, but it's really good exposure. So turn up on the Friday. And the head greenkeeper is talking with his assistant. They're over on 16 green. They're looking at us. And I knew exactly. I said, look at those two, Taylor. I know what they're talking about. They're saying, look at those two idiots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How long is that tent going to last? And in the morning, it wasn't too bad, but it crept up to about, I think it's good up to about 10 miles an hour. And then after 10, it was gusting to 22, 25. And it was scary. You know.
Did you have to take the tent down?
We ended up taking it down.
Oh, you did.
So now you just have a desk.
Yeah.
At which point, someone drives past and says, like, are you guys gypsies or something? The tent brings some sort of legitimacy to...
What are you guys doing out here? We just want your money.
Dude, two people actually did ask...
Hey, guys like dags.
Call me gypsies. They call me gypsy. Wow. I was like, hey, whatever. You can't keep everyone happy.
They know one when they see one.
Yeah. Saturday, we go out and we put the tent down to its lowest level. Just so it looks a little bit more
so
legit.
You can have your tent.
But basically, the buy-in was $20. And closest, so it was 10. I actually on Sunday brought it down to 5 grand cash because my wife
wind
came
was
up
down a little,
and I just thought, no, there was no wind. The first two days,
walk me through this. What was the plan? There's a hole in one.
Mm-hmm.
Natalia, run to the bank. You need to go get 5 grand cash to pay these guys. You can cut them a check.
Or? I said, bring money up, bring cash. So
you had it ready there already.
Yes, I had the money there.
Wow,
yes,
dang.
No. Well, you know, I.
Just in case.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine? You win the hole in one. Yeah, give me your details.
Yeah, I'll Venmo you, bro. Yeah. I mean, might take a month or so, but I'll get it to you.
You know, if you're going to do it properly.
Yeah.
And I don't do things by halves. So it was the blue was 161 because we got them to put the pin all the way back.
Yeah.
And Friday, Saturday, the wind was into it. So at one point on Friday, it was playing 200.
Wow. So what was the closest shot?
So the closest on Friday was 3 feet, but the dude never paid the 20, so he never qualified.
What was the closest that paid?
I think it was 9 feet 2 inches.
And then you did like an overall winner, got a free foursome there.
So
right?
Each day, this is amazing. Darren, the pro up at Half Moon Bay, got to give him a shout out. The whole thing was fantastic. Just to go from down here where no one really wants to help you, to going to a place
somewhere
where
accommodating.
Everyone was. It was happy, welcoming. Mike, one of the assistants, he listens to the podcast, so he gave me
awesome, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. A huge sort of welcome to say, oh, you're here, this is wonderful, great for us, great exposure. They recognize we have a platform, which was nice. Anything we asked for was there within 5 minutes.
That's
go and
awesome.
Speak to him. There were no hoops to jump through. It was just fantastic. So I can't, you know, speak highly enough of the whole staff at Half Moon Bay. But on top of that, I spoke to Darren. I said, could you throw in a sweetener for closest to the pin? He says, we'll give a free foursome each day.
That's awesome.
So there were three winners. And that was great. I got people coming in the doors that,
yeah,
you know, cause they know, like I looked at the odds, it's 12,500 to one to get a hole in one in a par three. Pros,
I thought it was even more than that.
Yeah, well, I looked this morning.
Yeah.
For a pro, it's, you know, 2,500 to one.
Yeah.
But it's still in your mind. Every time someone got over the ball,
I mean, there's always a chance. People hit bad shots and make all ones.
Well, a lot of people are playing in whites. 133. And you, one lady
you let
played,
them buy in for that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you know, didn't make a minimum for them? No, oh, yeah, because you're giving your own money. You can set the rules. It. That's cool.
I set the rules.
But still, from 135 yards, chances are you're not holding it.
Well, exactly. And there's a reason people are playing the white tees.
Yeah, yeah.
I did let a couple of ladies play 74 yards. Taylor called it when one. He says, "Nah, we're not going to allow you to play." She was. She came up boasting about it, and you knew she wanted to gamble.
She's a player, yeah. Yeah, he's like, I'll hit my 60-degree wedge. Yeah, that I hit 80.
That's it. We looked at the clubs, and we're back and forth.
Yeah, I was like, nope.
She's like, "Do you take Venmo?" And I was like,
"Yeah,
oh.
No, bro."
I was like, "Nah, we're not going to let you play. I'm sorry."
Smart.
Our rules. Our ball. Our rules.
Yeah.
So the three winners. It was a guy called Daniel Gibson, Will Van Alstyne.
Hold on. How far did Daniel Gibson hit it to?
Well, 9 feet, 2 inches.
Good shot.
That was the best. Will Van Alstyne, I think he was 14 feet.
Not bad.
And Ash Kalra had only been playing golf 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Was, I think he shot like 110.
Nice.
And he hit it to 20 feet, 25 nice. Feet, 1 inch on
pretty
the Friday.
Good for you, Ash. Yeah.
So it was absolutely fantastic. But it was interesting. You know, what do caddies do, Brandon? You tell it. You walk to the first tee, you don't know who you're caddying for. What's the first thing you're doing?
You're passing judgment on others.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Bingo. You're being an observer. You're Bingo. Going like who am I caddying for? You walk up, you walk past the putting green, you're like, which one of these guys am I caddying for today?
Yeah.
You're like, could be those guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we're looking at clubs. We're looking at how they're dressed. Then the questions start, where are you from? What do you do? How long are you here for?
Yeah.
We're social profiling.
We're getting the flags
profiling.
Out
yeah. We're trying to work a way that we're...
We could do most profiling jobs for the FBI or police.
Yeah. We're trying to weed out the Wongs. Yeah. How about that?
Yes.
Right?
We know the Wongs.
So myself and Taylor were having such a laugh on 17 tee as we're watching people coming down 16 fairway.
Like, look at this jackass.
Yeah. Look at how they're dressed. Are they playing music? Are they drinking? What's the quality of the golf? And I got to be honest, only two, maybe three groups shocked us.
Yeah.
That I was like, nah, there's no money here for us.
Yeah.
But the dudes were into it. But we were pretty accurate with the whole thing. You just knew, that foursome, they're all in. And it was absolutely fantastic. It was
so
really
pretty
good
successful.
I would say it was hugely successful. Yeah. I'd like to take it on the road. Actually, it's a wee bit of a call out to anyone that's. I know there's a couple of pros from clubs around the country that listen to this. If you have a public golf course, I'm not sure I'd want to do it at a country club, public golf course.
Yeah.
That want us to come out and do one of these events. You know, it helps you guys out. We'll give you a shout out in the podcast and come and meet the golfers. Make it a little bit of fun. Yeah, get in contact, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. One thing that happened as well, on episode 83, so if people are out there and you've just started listening to the podcast, there's 83 more episodes before this one, so you can always go back. Number 83, I played the Koreans. Two Scotsmen play two Koreans at golf, and we got hustled by Cho and Chang. Well, lo and behold, this was not planned, but Cho was there on the Saturday, and Chang was there on the Sunday.
Isn't that crazy?
It was epic.
Were they playing like a term? Are there just two different rounds of golf? Like they weren't playing in part of the same group?
No, they different were two separate days. So Cho had texted me on Wednesday night. I replied on Thursday. I said, I'm at Half Moon Bay doing this event. He said, what course and when? He says, we're playing Saturday the Ocean. So he was with a group of his boys on Saturday. And then Chang texted on Sunday morning saying that it was his 50th birthday. So he was out playing. So I actually got a little interview, which I'll play just now. Four! All right, so it's Saturday afternoon, Half Moon Bay. We're on 17. Last episode, 83, we heard about how the Koreans hustled myself and my pal Stephen. Well, lo and behold, the star of that show, Daniel Cho, is actually here at Half Moon Bay today. Daniel, welcome.
Daniel Cho, total hack.
Total hack. You weren't a hack back in December when you hustled us out.
Hey, man.
You weren't happy
with that. I told you. Look, you know, Zabo was right. I never asked for any more strokes than what I'm supposed to get on my index.
Did you tell me that you shot a 92 at your home course?
Because it happened. That totally happened.
And how do you feel about the 79 getting all those strokes?
I feel freaking awesome about it, man. Are you kidding? I slept like a baby.
I
slept like a baby.
How did you spend the money?
Oh, well, I put $20 towards this hole-in-one contest that I'm going to win right now.
I love it. Excellent. Are you playing well today? Having fun?
We're doing all right. Yeah, we're doing okay. I think we're all having fun. That's all I care about.
That's all that matters. Excellent. Well, listen, I hope you don't make the hole in one. But
I want to make it just to have you tell more stories about how pissed you are about the Korean Asian invasion that's messing up your life.
The Korean thieves.
Here it is, the moment of truth. Daniel Cho, 17 Half Moon Bay. We'll see if he's playing off his 21 handicap or his 8 from Cordoval. It's my money, yes. Okay. He's over the ball. He's got a 5 iron, I think. Oh. Oh, it's tailing off. Oh, and he's long. He's long.
Look at this.
Day 3 of the hole-in-one challenge at Half Moon Bay. We heard from Cho the cheat yesterday, and we have the other half of the dynamic duo, Chang.
The better half of the dynamic
duo. Well, it wouldn't be hard, would it?
Yes, yes, of course.
Why are you at Half Moon Bay today?
Oh, you know, I'm here to celebrate my birthday.
How old are you?
The big 50.
Big 50, okay. Yeah. Obviously, in the podcast last year, we talked about I gave you boys a roasting because you basically cheated me out of money, correct?
There's no such thing as cheating.
No such thing.
All fair stuff. When we decided strokes and everything else at the table prior to the first tee, that's just how it is, right?
So in Korea, cheating doesn't exist.
Well, if you don't cheat, then how are you supposed to win?
We played Korean rules.
Correct. No, I don't say Korean rules, but as all the top athletes will say, if you don't cheat a little bit, you're never going to win.
Okay, well, there you go. There's a little bit of admittance there. Are you going to take part in our little hole-in-one event this afternoon?
Oh, sure. I love to donate to good causes because, you know, some glorified donkeys, they need extra food and extra funds to basically keep on going.
So love that. I love that. Excellent.
We are going to basically do what we can.
Right. We'll see you in about 5 minutes. We're waiting for the group in front. And hopefully you don't win my $5,000.
Oh, yeah. Even if I win the $5,000, it's coming right back.
Oh, lovely. Yes. Well, thank you, Chang. Here's Chang. It's getting colder. Got a drone overhead. Looks like he's got a 9-iron or an 8-iron in his hand. Okay. Oh, he's drawing it. He hits another green in regulation, but unluckily, no hole-in-one this time. Thank you for your contribution.
I'm always happy to basically contribute to the very, very, very hungry mouths. And thirsty, too, sometimes.
Thanks for taking part.
Very bizarre, huh?
Like, crazy. But I was right. You know, you gave Cho a little more too much credit. Too much credit. You gave me, I shot 92. Okay, we'll give you a full shot. You gave him too many shots.
I was trying to be nice, and it's the last time I'll ever try.
Cho's a sandbagger.
Nice.
You play Koreans in golf.
And Chang.
Cho and Chang, sandbaggers, all the way.
But you play Koreans in golf.
They're hustlers.
You take their handicap, and then you take 6 shots off. So you take 3 aside off what they say they are, and then you play even up.
You got to play their game.
Yeah.
I want to know. Well, it'll never happen again.
As Chang said, and I don't agree with this statement, Chang. You said, if you talk to any good pro athlete, you say if you're not cheating, you're not winning.
Gordon, you should have been a little better at passing judgment on people.
Well, world-class athletes don't say if you're not cheating, you're not winning. That doesn't happen.
Was that Chang saying that he was like comparing himself to a world-class athlete?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Come on, Chang. Behave yourself. I'll tell you, though. Some of the stuff when we were profiling, because there were some people just cruised past, right? There were some people that Taylor made this funny comment where he says, oh, I guess they're not interested in the awkward interaction where they parked, walked over the hill to 16 green, then just bypassed us. Then some people just cruised past.
They're like, see you later.
But we saw some iron covers.
Oh, God.
Do you think iron cover guys were throwing the 20 in?
I caddied for one the other day, and he apologized about it, but I was still like, bro, I don't care if you apologize. Just take him off.
Take him off. So, it was, all in all, absolutely fantastic trip. Half Moon Bay, if you are coming down to the Monterey Peninsula or you're up in the Bay Area, please support them. 2 fantastic golf courses, and we'll be back up there. Hopefully, they've given us permission to go up and shoot as much YouTube footage as we want.
That's amazing. Thank you, guys.
We've been looking for probably 2 years, a couple of projects that we've been talking about for 2 years, and no one down here is willing to help us out. So
we appreciate your support. Yeah. Help. Thank you.
Hopefully, maybe in February at some point, we'll get a backup there and even play some golf. So
looking forward to it.
Many thanks, Darren, Mike, and all the staff up at Half Moon Bay, and all the people that you know played, took part, supported the cause, and are now listening. Fantastic. Great to meet you. Now, boys, we're going to move on to some bits and pieces from the PGA Tour, professional golf.
Let's do it.
Four!
We're always trying to look at creating evergreen content. and the stuff in the PGA Tour right now, this is evergreen because this is a new thing they've brought in. It's called PIP, Player Impact Program. Have you boys heard about this?
I have. Yeah,
I've looked into closely. It. Yeah I've right. seen it.
So, long and short, the PGA Tour started talking about this last year. It's a guy called Andy Pazder. That's a name I'd probably stay away from in the sheet.
Yeah.
What is it? Pazder?
Pazder.
With
P-A-Z-D-E-R. Andy Pazder. So this is his brainchild, and it's $40 million, and it's to reward players with the biggest positive impact on our business. By our business, he's talking about golf.
Golf,
so it's their business. It's not
golf
ours, it's theirs.
Golf being the PGA Tour, though, right? The growth of the game PGA Tour. PGA Tour. Where does the money come from, do we know?
They put it up.
The PGA Tour puts up the money.
So the top 10 players each year, starting this year, and this is going to be announced towards the middle or end of February, will be rewarded money, just given money.
Yeah.
Just, here you go.
And by top 10, you don't mean the top 10 in the official
no,
world
the top
rankings.
10 no. in their eyes.
The
no.
top 10 in their eyes.
By a point system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a 5-part point system, a points list, and it's about how much attention they bring to the game.
Yes.
Okay, so we have, this is a criteria. Google searches, the number of times that the player is searched in Google.
Yes.
We have meltwater mentions, and that's the mentions in global media. MVP index, that's a player's social media reach. A thing called the Nielsen score, and that's how often they're featured on TV broadcasts. And then you have what they call the Q score. That's a decade-long measure of familiarity and appeal. Okay? So not one thing on there is based on performance.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, everything you just mentioned there, Tiger Woods wins it every year for the next 10, 15 years, hands down, before he even plays golf.
So here you go, right?
If you're measuring it by those metrics, that's what happens.
But the criteria is you have to have played in 5 events in the previous year or in any of the previous 5 years.
Or in any of the previous 5 years.
So Tiger Woods
is okay for the next couple years.
He's good till 2024.
Yeah, so he's getting that 10 mil for the next 3 years.
Now, it's 40 million this year. Next year, it's going to rise to 50. Top prize, or number one spot, 8 million. Second spot, 6 million. Third to six spots is 3.5 million, and 7 through 10 is 3. They'll let us know in mid to late February, and if you're 11th, you get hee haw.
Anybody after 10 gets what straw.
Bend over.
There's just all sorts of issues with it, just because not even from the fact that you're giving these rich guys even more money, just handing them free money, but the issues comes like, I want to see who wins that, because you know Brooks and Bryson are going to probably be in the top 10, and a big reason because of that is going to be their feud. You know, are they feuding because of this PIP program?
Yeah, we're watching professional wrestling now.
Exactly. Yes. You look at Grayson Murray a couple weeks ago. He's tweeting at Kevin Na, you know, the slow play. You know, you need to. Nobody wants to see Kevin Na walk in his putts, especially when he's, you know, taking 3 minutes over the putter. And Kevin Na fires back with, oh, yeah, have fun missing the cut, you know, because you miss every cut. Grayson Murray's playing on the Corn Ferry Tour. He's not even on the PGA Tour, and he's trying to create this stir. Now, is that an aim at the PIP? That's what people are going to start to say.
Well, I said the Bryson DeChambeau
building
Kepka
a monster.
Was all bullshit.
It seemed fake. They're probably best mates.
It happened around about June, July. That's when it kicked off.
That's the only reason I don't agree with this program. I think for the other reasons, it's just the nature of the world now. I mean, you monetize all these social media platforms and these guys,
it's a sign
they get
of the times,
of the
man.
Pie. They get their piece
money
of the pie.
Money talks.
They do. Now, there's obviously a lot of talk about the LIV golf investment, the Saudi-backed, Greg Norman-led Asian Tour investment. They've got like $250 million to give as appearance fees over the next, I don't know, 5-10 years. And then you had the Premier League Golf or Premier Golf League. And I think because the PGA Tour will not, they don't have a rule that they will not pay appearance money, this is them hitting back to try and hold on to those.
No.
I guarantee if you're the top 10.
I think that's what it is in response to, for sure.
If you're one of those top 10 guys, part of that process, because there's criteria to getting the money, which beyond the five stages, and you have to turn up at some event.
Yeah,
and I
think
bet you have to sign a piece of paper that says, I'm not going to Saudi Arabia, I'm not going to
pay.
That's
what gives Jay Monahan a leg to stand on when he says, no, you can't go play these tours, or you're going to be kicked off the PGA Tour. You want to earn extra money, here's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's all bollocks. They can. You always hear about these corporates and nonsense, you know, talking about, oh, we need to grow the game, we need to do this. Like, what could you do with 50 million, 40 million? And, you know,
you could probably grow it a little better than giving Tiger and Phil 14 yes. mil between the two of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, unanimous, what do you think, Brandon? You for or against this? Like, it doesn't really matter what we think is going to happen.
No, I honestly don't care. I think it's a little silly, but I also think that that's. It's just the way the world operates. And yeah. The first thing that comes to mind with the whole appearance fees and whatnot for the European Tour and the those European events is, well, the people that are putting up their names on advertisements or sponsoring the tournaments are probably creating demands on the people that are operating the tournaments that, well, we want to see these people. Because why else would you just give somebody...
Yep.
Money to sure. show up at your tournament unless the people that are sponsoring the tournament are creating demands on you because we want to see this name, this name, this name, this name at our tournament. Otherwise, guess what? We're dropping the sponsorship.
Yeah, true.
It is? No.
I did watch, well, I didn't watch any of the Amex from Palm Springs, but you couldn't really get excited about the names in the top 10. Unless you were related to them or had some sort of affiliation.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, those are going to be the same names that are at our AT&T Pebble Beach.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that. It's going to be like the weakest field ever.
Ever. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, it's going to go ahead regardless of what we think, but I think it's trash. It's all smoke and mirrors. You know, they say one thing and then do another, and it's definitely not going to grow the game for sure. Russell Henley, he went into an event last couple of weeks leading... He's
crazy.
Become. This has become really sort of his MO.
Last 2 years, he started to play really good golf, but hasn't broken through. And he's had some epic collapses on Sundays. I mean, just three or four times now, he's been like a couple shots clear. This last one, I mean, he was five shots clear. He had a five shot lead over Hideki through nine. And I mean, he didn't play bad. It's just. He didn't close the deal.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him actually in a way that you can if I have that much empathy within me to feel sorry for professional golfers,
yeah.
Which is not much. But people don't realize how hard it is. You know, people talk about, oh yeah, shot 74 and oh a double bogeyed 7. You know, it is these guys to grind for four rounds.
Yeah.
Is so tough coming down the stretch for that amount of money.
Ridiculous
it's
amount of pressure.
Really, really tough. Yep. I'd love to see a lot of people who, you know, call him a choke and stuff.
I think he's going to break through soon. He's like Sport Spieth was like a year ago, yes. year and a half ago. And Spieth
same
was,
thing.
I think we talked about it on the podcast, and you were like, oh no, he's not going to do it. And he did break through, and he's won a couple of times. And I think Henley's to that level too. I mean, he's playing too good not to win.
True.
And he's got a great caddy.
The reason I said about it was because. Spieth wasn't used to playing four rounds. You need to build that stamina to play weekends and play on a Sunday. And then he obviously broke through. The one funny thing I heard was I listened to a snippet of another podcast and the dude says, yeah, what a collapse, you know. Hey, guys, we've all been there. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. We've all been there. What, you,
what,
leading
what
by
you
five
done?
On a PGA Tour event.
Epic collapse. He shot 65 on Sunday. He lost in a playoff. He didn't. It's not like he went out and shot 74 or shot two over. He shot five under.
Yeah.
Or whatever, par 71. He shot 65.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
he didn't collapse.
That's the trash world of social media. Some new rules come in this year as well, lads. First of all, for amateurs, you can make money from your name and images.
Finally, I can.
So, yeah.
Really?
Brandon,
nice.
You can't. That hat you have, you
wow.
could start making money from your name.
Brandon,
and,
Brandon, we got to start marketing that hat.
Yeah. Yeah, I could use some extra money. So if anybody has any good ideas about how I could sell myself to the world.
The problem is there's only about, out of out of the 300 million people in the country, there's only about 1,000 who have man buns, so there's not a huge market for that.
I tell you what, there's an older lady in the pub there who's been staring at you. I could give you, we're making money.
Well, her food finally got to the table, so she has moved on from me.
Amateurs as well, they can now accept prize money up to $1,000.
A grand?
Yeah, I don't know. What does that mean for the hole-in-one I was doing? Does that, you know?
Means they're pros. They take that $5,000 and you're a pro.
Yeah, it's cash prize. No one needs to know about that. That's our little secret.
Under the table. Yeah. Under the table.
Driver length on the tour shortened to 46 inches instead of 48.
Seriously? Really?
Yeah,
they went through with that. So that's official. Wow.
That's official.
Wow. Good.
46 inches instead of 48. You happy with that, B?
No.
No.
No. He likes the shafts longer.
No. I definitely like them longer.
Yeah, more girth as well.
Yeah.
A little stiffer.
Yeah.
The taper is sometimes too much.
And then we move on to the final part, which is the green book, which everyone hates.
That's the green grid books, yeah. They voted that down. I think that was the Player Advisory Council decided that and gave that to that was their recommendation to the PGA Tour, and they adopted that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. So basically, up until last year, you could be using notes from previous books.
Yeah, and that's a huge change this year, too.
Which is a big advantage. If you've been on the tour for 20 years, this would be caddies as well. Uh-huh. So if you're a veteran caddy, you're just going to have to remember what the breaks are or what happened where. But I'm sure these boys will find another way of being as slow as possible. So
they will. I'm curious to see because, I mean, the stats are going to come out after the season. If putting really was affected by those green grid books, how much was it affected? You know, how much better was the putting with the green grid books? Because every round those guys play, they're given those Straka books with the actual pin position. So when they're given those green grid books every day, and it shows the exact hole location on every hole for every round. So when you look at that book, I mean, you could be an idiot and you just look at the book. Well, I'm right here. The putt's definitely going this way. I mean, you can't.
Well, I mean, it's clear as right in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, it tells you exactly what it's going to do around the hole on every single green. They don't have that luxury anymore, which is great, I think.
Yeah. You know, the art of reading putts is gone.
No, that's not it. Anymore. It's back.
Yeah. Back.
It's back.
Now,
it's going to be fun to watch.
You got to come to Spyglass to get that action.
Okay, boys, we're going to move on to notable mentions and a couple of questions. So anything else to add in that part, or are you good to go?
I'm good.
I'm good to go.
You want to take 15 minutes and go in there? Help her finish her plate.
Yeah, you can see what her French fries
are. Make some money.
Yeah,
I've digested my burger. I think I'm ready for more.
Cool. Moving on. A couple of questions. First one's from a Derek Wilson. He's from Northern Virginia, the DC area. What do you make of golfers based on the condition, brackets, clean versus just straight out of the mud bog, and the age of their clubs when you meet them? So what do you make of golfers based on the condition and age of their clubs when you meet them?
Usually it gives me an idea of the frequency they play or what kind of courses they play. You know, I think the older clubs with the mud caked on, that's like they don't even know that it's silver under there. They just think that's what it looks like, and it's just caked on from years. That's a muni player who plays once every other month or maybe once a month.
Don't make those clubs too clean. I don't think they'll work.
Gotta love those guys. Yeah.
The greens are too clean.
Yeah, I mean, it's very obvious. You get those weird pin clubs with the toe weight that look like, I mean...
Spaceships.
Yeah, spaceships.
You can tell the country club players versus non-country, because pretty much every country club in the world, and pretty much most members at most country clubs store their clubs on property at these country clubs. So the bag rooms are cleaning the clubs every time they come in and out. So you can tell when, you know, you're not...
People that are investing money in the new golf clubs every couple seasons.
Yeah.
Standing at Half Moon Bay on 17 for 3 days, I saw a lot of just what he was talking about.
Oh, you get a lot of that up at a public resort like that.
Yeah, yeah, there's a difference between, because quite often we'll carry for people who have been to the range. So there's a difference between range mud and then that kind of, I don't know how to even describe it, that filth that takes that kind of greeny brown colour.
Oh yeah,
it'd be like if you wore your trousers for like a week or so.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can't wash that out.
I'm talking this one, dude. You could need turpentine or something, a white spirit, to try and even get close to the grooves.
A belt sander.
We had one boy, and he was complaining. Here's one for you. How do you know someone went to Stanford?
Ask them. If they don't, they'll tell you. Yeah.
If they don't tell you, they're wearing a hat with an S on it, right?
Yeah.
So this guy rolls up. He's wearing his hat. He's I don't know. Like if you go to Stanford, I'm sure you know you're not working as a binman. You know, I mean, you're not working bar.
Typically not. No.
Yeah. You're doing something. He'd a set of ping I2s. He's complaining about his game. I was like, well, maybe if you get into the new century, dude.
Ping I2s with those damn old golf bag grips that are all worn down.
Worn down.
You know?
And then the filth on them. It was disgusting. You know what I mean? It was almost, I don't know.
Just I know. I cringe when I see that shit.
Like a moose. You know? And I've got to be honest, that type of filth, when I see it in the tee, and I don't mind clearing the clubs off. The range muck, as I say, no problem. But when I have to really...
When you really got to get that towel soaking wet and really scrub it in there, get that tee, you go through like four or five tees on each club just trying to...
That's it.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, we definitely... What do you make of them? Listen, caddies are social profile in every aspect of your presentation, your clubs, your possessions, everything.
Well,
we don't make much of them. We're not fans.
True. Jim Atwell. Always loves emailing in.
Hey, Jim.
I only ever ask half of Jim's questions, but he does it.
The other half are too inappropriate for the podcast.
That's my father-in-law, Brandon, so yeah.
I'll be honest with you, a lot of them are. Where's he from, again?
Where's he from?
I know he's in Oregon.
Well, Kansas City, originally, yeah.
Oh, nice one. Oh,
Missouri or Kansas?
Actually, Kansas. Thanks for asking, yeah.
But where's he living? Oregon.
He lives in Oregon, Woodburn, Oregon.
Woodburn. Okay. He says, Big G, can you tell us how seniority among caddies works? How the process works at each course? So.
Date of hire.
Date of hire, it's
not done on merit.
It's not done on merit because there certainly wouldn't be that many guys.
It's not done on caddy reviews either.
That's for damn sure.
Have you ever read the caddy review book?
Oh, yeah.
It's brilliant. It makes some great reading. I once read one that said, such and such. Doesn't like people, quite obviously. He needs to get a job that doesn't involve the public.
Hey, I was having a bad day. I'm sorry.
Then you flip it over. Same guy. Not the most presentable.
Yeah.
Doesn't like people.
I think the best ones you see.
You guys must go through a caddy school.
Yeah. No.
Right? I hate to burst that dream of yours.
Are you free this afternoon?
Yeah, but no.
But no, typically, so the different things. If you go to a place, they'll have a rotation. So
yeah, I've worked a lot of different places that rotating schedule.
Yeah, places that haven't had a caddy service for, you know, decades.
Uh-huh. Then you'll have the corrupt caddy master place where whoever throws them more grease gets the best and first looks.
That's the old school shit. Yeah,
that's how
every caddy barn has them.
That's the barn I want.
Might
to
not be
in.
Full of them, but
I like to be in the corrupt barns.
They're floating around.
There's a difference where as a cat, I know caddy masters, and I know that they want reliability, and if they can find their core 12 guys, 16 guys, 20 guys, whatever it is, that when the big football match is on or when the weather's fantastic. They're always going to work rain, wind, or shine thing. And that's who, you know.
That's who's going to get the calls.
For me, I used to do late loops, and I would expect something back. I would never get anything, of course. But that's I think it should work that way, where you have your core guys who are always there, who you can really rely on.
Yeah.
Have them up first, then have a rotation. This first come, first served, which used to be where I grew up at Turnberry, guys would come out the nightclub, come out the pub, drive to the course and sleep in their car and put their name down at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's crazy.
We used to have that at the Country Club of Detroit.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Well, we'd have a sign-in sheet when you got
because most
there.
Of the caddies were sleeping in their car and they had nowhere to go.
They didn't have a home to begin with, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Back in the Big D.
Same old guys. They'd all get there. They'd all...
4 in the morning.
They'd all be shuffling for that, you know, first spot on the list.
That's it. What was it you said you used to drink? What? Smoking a blunt and what?
What?
At the Big D, you used to, when you were 13, you'd have a can of Harp or something. No?
No, I mean, I used to smoke cigarettes in the ball picker when I would do the driving range.
Who didn't?
I'd go to the staff lunch at like 4 p.m., or whatever, and then I'd eat, and then I'd grab a fountain soda and go smoke cigarettes and pick balls.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's
and then
brilliant.
I'd hit the range. I'd pick up all the balls, clean them, and then I'd hit as many balls as I could, and then I'd go pick the range again.
My pal Sean and I, carry master at King's Barnes, we were asked for 2 weeks to help out at the driving range. And we weren't big fans of the guys that ran it, and we didn't really care. But what we'd do is we'd both go out picking, and we'd take turns at who was on the pedals and who was steering. So we tore up the range. We'd look behind and laugh as we saw the turf going.
Good and times.
About a month later, I call my old man. He's like, "Oh, yeah." I says, "How's the range?" He says, "Oh, all the assistant pros are out handpicking." They're out in the middle of the winter.
Not allowed on the...
all tore up.
Yeah. Greenkeeper said,
"How many flag sticks did you break trying to catch all those balls next to the flag stick?"
To answer Jim's question, different courses, different strokes. Here, it's all based upon seniority. If you have request work, you can go wherever you want at whatever time. Mark Tatich, have you ever seen any physical fights while working? I've seen my fair share as a carry master on the first tee. And then he says, "Fish still sucks."
Oddly enough, I'm caddying today. This guy I'm caddying for, we're walking down the holes, and he's decked out. He's got the Wilson clubs. He's got a Wilson hat on. He's got a Wilson golf ball. I'm like, "What's up, bro?" I'm like, "Do you work for Wilson or something?" It's not really a common company. I mean, Kevin Streelman plays Wilson, but I'm like, I thought he might have worked for Wilson or something. He goes, "No, I'm just a really big Fish song. You ever hear the song Wilson?" I just kind of roll my eyes, and I'm like, "No, not really, but that guy over there, little Brandon,
he loves
do you
him.
Like Fish and Humphreys McGee? He's your guy."
Humphreys McGee, baby. How about, I nearly got into...
On Sunday Night Football, they played in the intro and outro, like, cut into commercial, they played Tweezer, and they played, I think it was Attachments by Humphreys McGee.
Oh, nice one.
So somebody working in there in whatever, ABC or whatever.
The other fan.
Yeah.
The second one.
I was so... When Cho was playing up on Saturday, there was 32 of them, and it's like an Asian group. So
bound to be a fight there.
Well, there was a lot of Asian guys playing, but not in that group. And one group walked up. They didn't look very happy. And I said, "Oh, you're part of the Chen group?" And he's like, "No." And he looked, what you presume because I'm Asian, you're part of the Chen group? And of course, he didn't know that I knew the 32 guys in the Chen group were playing, but he was obviously not happy. Didn't think that was... The only fights you'll ever normally see would be balls getting into other people.
Yeah, I mean, and usually when you see that, guys puff up their chest and other guys puff up their chest, and it never really comes to blows.
As I've said many a time, on the golf course, everyone's an asshole from 150 yards.
True. Very true. So,
okay, lads, that's the last of the questions. If you have any questions, please send them in, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com, or you can go to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and send it that way. Just look for Glorified Donkey. Mentions, boys, I've got plenty. You want to start?
Sure, I'll start.
I'm going to start.
Oh, yeah, you start.
I'll get out of the way, then we can finish with all you, boys, right? Philip Marin, Pueblo, Colorado. I played golf with him in Arizona. That's one I didn't even get a chance to talk about my trip to Arizona.
Wait, what's his name?
Philip Marin.
Philip Marin? Is it this in Pueblo?
So he's from Pueblo.
Thanks for the shirts. I wear it all the time.
No, but that wasn't... This is
the story.
I know. That's what I want to hear. Because our boy, Brian Zilikowski. We got Pueblo shirts from him.
Yeah. So,
oh, okay.
So, but here, how about this? So Philip, I've known Philip. I carried from 4 years ago, say.
Okay.
I know his sister-in-law and brother-in-law. Okay.
Okay.
So when I was in Scottsdale at Christmas, we ended up playing golf.
Oh, nice.
Great. He's from... He lives... He's got a house there. He's from...
Perfect.
Pueblo. And how about this? Last year, he's playing golf on the Tuesday night men's league at Pueblo, right?
I'm sure Zielkowski plays in that.
Zielowski plays six times a week. Zielowski ends up in the group. And Philip says, "Oh, yeah." Zielowski says, "I'm going out to Monterey to play golf."
No
way. He goes,
"Oh,
who are you playing?" "Oh, I'm playing the big course." He goes, "Oh, I was out there. Are you getting a caddy?" He goes, "Yeah. Who'd you get?" "Oh, I think he'd been." That's what it was.
Yeah,
he goes,
yeah.
"Oh, Big G does the podcast." He's like, "No way."
That's hilarious,
so,
dude.
So, yeah, again, that was like the Cho chat.
Wow. Word is spreading.
Word is spreading, folks.
So I played some golf out in Arizona. I'll have to talk about that at a later time. Tim Fleming. He is Tim.
Oh,
is
Tim. Yeah, go ahead.
Bittersweet. He's the pro at Oklahoma City Golf and Country Club. Myself and Zabo have known him for a few years. He's actually the pro Old Boy McCubbin. I played golf with Old Boy McCubbin down in Palm Springs on the way home from Scottsdale. But just before I left on that trip, I got a box sent to me, and it was from Tim. It was clothes for Zabo and myself.
Tim, thank you so much. Perfectly sized on the clothes for myself and G as well. You pegged this.
Potential. Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Tim, double XL. Come on, bro.
He's a big boy.
I am not that big. And I'm actually slimming down. I've lost 12 pounds since my trip to Arizona. I was a little girthy. Things are going the right direction. But
yeah.
Thank you very much,
thank
Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
But, you
clothes
know,
are awesome.
It was bittersweet. I'll send you them back and you can send something else. Have to mention Brian Zulowski because he sent us Top Golf credit to the boys.
Thank you, Brian. So,
wow.
Now we have to drive 2 hours to find a Top Golf, but
well,
thank
shit,
you.
Next time I'm in Vegas, I can use it then.
Yeah, we'll go to Vegas or we'll go up to San Jose.
There you go.
But he's also from Pueblo. I want to say hello to Jeff Meyer, who's a podcast listener. I did say it in Italia, wouldn't it be cool if I go to Half Moon Bay and people come through and they're actually already podcast listeners, and Jeff.
Oh,
was.
Wow, cool.
There were two or three others.
That's awesome.
But I had a good chat with Jeff, so thank you, Jeff, for your support. My final shout out and mention goes to Jim Hughes, the ponytailed caddy out here.
Love Big Jim.
Because when I went to Scottsdale, he actually let us stay at his house. He's got
oh,
a house
perfect.
Out there, and
wow.
It was fantastic. We're actually going to be going back out. This is interesting. Before the boys give their mentions, I will mention that I'm heading out to the Waste Management Tournament in Scottsdale at the beginning of February. Got a bunch of hats and t-shirts and swag to sell. I'm going to hopefully pitch the tent somewhere close to the event. Yeah, just pitch the tent. like the big D. Put my name
in the
list.
Sounds like a gypsy to me. The gypsy
and
tent guy.
I get 12,000 business cards to hand out to spectators.
Nice.
To try and grow the podcast. So if you are going to be at the Waste Management this year, 2020, what year is it, 22?
22.
Send us a message, send us an email, and we'll meet up and have a beer. So Brandon, mentions Old Boy.
I'd like to send out a mention to Ken Reinhardt. He was my loop in the gathering of gentlemen golfers. Bengals.
Hopefully he's sobered up.
Yeah, he wasn't really drinking much on the golf course, but those guys were taking it deep. I know they were kind of hard to put down. Those guys were the night owls.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, thanks, Ken. I appreciate you. Look forward to next year. Hopefully see you this summer.
I got to shout out Jim and Gene Atwell. They are on their way to town here pretty soon for the AT&T to help out with my daughter, as myself and my wife will both be working all week. So looking forward to having you in town, hopefully celebrating another win this year. And got to shout out Tim Fleming for all the stuff he sent. Tim was also the guy we didn't say who had the hole-in-one on 8 mm-hmm. at the Wee Wee course, but yeah. Amazing hole-in-one with a ridiculous flag. And also
crazy.
Victor Lee. Victor Lee. If you ever hear this, and when you make it to the PGA Tour, seek me out. We're going to win some events together.
Mike said, I told you so.
I'm telling you, somebody's going to pull this podcast up in 13 years after Victor wins the Masters at 21 years old, and they're going to say, wow.
Victor
Mike,
Lee
Mike Zabo
from
called
Orange
it,
County.
Yeah, back in 2022. Hilarious. I mean, this kid, I'm telling you,
it's
he's
like
real
back to the future. Are you sure you're not Mike's calling it from the Sports Almanac?
Yeah.
Hey, Victor, my only advice is stay off the drinks, stay off the drugs, and stay away from the hookers. You got a chance.
Yeah.
I think Victor will be all right, but he is pretty personable. I don't know.
You usually shout out your brother-in-law, so give him
another what's up, Logan?
Hey, Logan.
What's up, Logan? I don't know if Joe watches it, but I know Logan listens, tunes in.
Actually, just as we're sitting here, Zielowski, he actually texts me. His father-in-law, Big Mike, he got hole-in-one. 155-yard par 3. Used a 5-wood. He thought it was in the front bunker. maybe it carried. Didn't see it in the bunker, so looked over the green. Greens can be like concrete this time of year.
They sure can.
Pueblo, Colorado in the middle, I can imagine. He looked all over for his ball and gave up, but his playing partner went to the hole, went to putt for birdie and saw Mike's ball in the hole. Never even knew. What a nightmare, eh? Gets a hole-in-one. And
good job, Mike. Good thing you weren't playing at Half Moon Bay.
So, last day I mentioned goes to Half Moon Bay, Darren the pro, Mike the assistant, all the staff up there. Many thanks for accommodating as the last weekend for the hole-in-one challenge, everyone for playing in it. Please get out there, follow us, email if you get any questions, and if you are going to the Waste Management, let me know. I will be there in a couple of weeks' time. Otherwise, thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Go and listen to previous episodes. Thank you, boys, for your time.
Thank you.
Stay away from the Wongs. And, yeah, enjoy your golf, but more importantly, keep it humble.